Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur.
We have more Fantasia. I'm going to be saying more Fantasia coverage for like...
You're going to get mixed up in one of the intros after Fantasia and be like, we have... Wait.
Fuck. We're not reviewing Fantasia stuff. Guys, I'm really tired. I've seen multiple movies this week and...
You had like back-to-back shit.
Yeah.
Like two movies in a row. Yes. Like 5 hours of watching stuff.
We're doing another double feature this weekend. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast before, but I really like sleep as a human. I'm not somebody who thrives on like
a lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm. I don't do very well with it. It really fucks with my like capacity to function completely. And so this week has been interesting. And that's not to say that I'm having a bad time, because seeing really great films and I always have a really good time with that. But every time we get to the end of this festival, I'm like, oh my God, I need to sleep for 3 days straight. Thanks. And this is no exception. And I feel like this year we're seeing even more.
Yes.
Since we're covering the festival, we're seeing even more. So there's just like a lot to it. But luckily, we've gotten a whole mixed bag of films this year for the 30th. Edition of the festival, which is really cool because we're getting like some stuff that's quieter, some stuff that's really like in your face, some stuff that's very visceral so far, some stuff that's a lot more like contained in terms of like the themes and the messaging. It's been interesting.
Yeah.
Thus far. So we
made good choices.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can literally see every single movie that comes out.
Not unless it's your full-time job.
And at Fantasia, I don't think it's possible. There's some that are overlapping.
Yeah, that's correct. You're right. It's true. So there are multiple films that play at the same time because there are so many films at this festival that it would be impossible for them to have everything be separate well. It's not possible for them to program it that way. So yeah, no. So
we're making good choices.
Yes. So today we're going to do a little bit more of a full-scale review because this film is getting a wider release via Shudder on July 31st. So very upcoming, very shortly. That will be happening in the next week or so. So today we're going to be talking about Nightborn, which is a Finnish production, actually, from a director named Hanna Bergholm. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that properly. Forgive my pronunciation for this whole episode. It's going to be disgusting.
You ruined it.
Shut up. You are also not helpful.
I'm not pronouncing.
No. Yeah, exactly. I have to do the fucking work, and then I get the shit for it as well. Thanks for that. So, Hanna Bergholm is a Finnish director, and she has previously written and directed the film called Hatching. Which I believe came out in 2022, excuse me, which that was her feature film debut. She'd previously directed several short films prior to that, and so this is her follow-up to that.
Yeah.
But I also
remember Hatchling also had similar themes.
I think it did,
type of thing.
Yeah, I think it did to a degree. This kind of takes things in a different direction, so... Nightborn, for folks who are unaware, is very much a Finnish like folk horror.
Yes.
Folk horror. There are body horror elements to the film. There are, for people who live in that niche where they watch a lot of those like motherhood horror movies, because there are multiple ones like that. You know, if you think of like Rosemary's Baby or like Inside more recently, sure, or like a few of those other ones as well, it does kind of live in that space. Also, but it borrows elements from things like Finnish folklore, which is interesting, and a bunch of other stuff as well. This was like kind of an interesting film for her to, I think, follow things up with as well. And she definitely tackles a lot of issues that women deal with.
Oh, there's so many
in general.
The whole movie is an allegory of everything.
Yeah.
Postpartum and what it means to be a first time mother in the first couple of months, essentially, whatever.
Yeah. All of that stuff. Look at you clocking things.
I know things. I pay attention.
I know stuff. So let me read the quick IMDb synopsis so that we can then kind of take a look at things. And we'll get into, again, some spoilers, not super heavy spoilers as we do, especially because it's not quite out yet. So we'll.
It's going to be soon out.
I know, soon.
It's soon enough.
So, like, a little bit more, but we'll be careful with it.
What the fuck was that accent?
A little bit. You know exactly what I'm
referencing. Oh, God. Read the synopsis or whatever it's called.
In the Finnish forest, Saga and her husband John embark on a new chapter as parents. But when Saga's joy is overshadowed by a chilling suspicion about their newborn, unbeknownst to John, causing a rift as she alone grapples with the disturbing truth. This feels like it was written by AI. There are words missing in the summary.
Okay. Well,
that's fucking weird.
Don't say that. That's not cool.
But that's weird. IMDb, like, fix that. That's fucking bizarre. Anyway,
could have been just a bad translation.
I think it was. Anyway, very strange. So, the film is kind of, yeah, it's darker in tone for sure. It stars, just as a sort of like side note, a Finnish actress named Sadie Harla, who I do not particularly know, if I'm honest, because I don't think she's done a ton of like English language stuff. But anyway, as the main character of Saga, as well as Rupert Grint.
Yeah.
Who obviously a lot of people will know, of course, from the Harry Potter franchise, who does play her husband, John, as well. And there are a few supporting characters, not too many. There are just a few additional people. Saga's mother is played by Pirkko Säisio, and John's parents are played by Rebecca Lacey and John Thompson as well. And then you have the Pamela Sister. Tola, who plays Taru, is her name, by the way. Yeah, that's about it, really. We don't have that many characters in the
film. No, it's pretty contained, and they only appear there for just a little bit, so...
Correct, yes. Yeah. So this film largely tackles issues, that's it, that, like Arthur mentioned, of things like postpartum, first-time motherhood, while weaving in elements of, you know, Finnish, like, mythology and folklore and things as well. And it really borrows a lot from the setting and everything. It's basically set in a house, but out very much like, you know, in the country in Finland. So it very much borrows from the setting that it's utilizing, and it really utilizes like the space and the place that it's set very effectively.
Very well. If you think about it, like, we're going to get into it, and there's a couple of things that I caught on to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you think about it, it does use the space and the physical things that happen to it really, really well.
Yeah.
But also the folklore elements, I think, are extremely well woven in.
I like folk horror just in general. It's a genre, like a subgenre, that I really, really enjoy, because very often that's it. It does borrow from actual folk tales in many cases and things like that. And there's just, I don't know, there's just something, there's a part of me that just wants to be a witch in the woods, because I just feel like life would be easier if that were the case. And so when I see a movie like this, I'm like, I should live in the middle of nowhere too. That would be great.
Wow. You can do it. You know, nothing's stopping you from...
You're stopping me.
What the fuck did I do?
How are you going to work?
No, there's no work. You just live off the land.
Cool. Okay.
You cultivate mushrooms.
Listen, I'm at the point. We're currently house hunting. And let me tell you, there's a part of me that feels like I would be okay with just living in the woods.
Would you be a black witch or a white witch?
I feel like I would be like a potions witch or like a kitchen witch or something.
Ah.
There's a weird part of me that still would want to help people.
Okay. It's nice to help people. I don't think it's weird.
That's it. You know, that's just how I would make my money. You could pay me a little bit. I could help you out with some stuff.
All right. Well, this movie is not about that. Not at all.
Sorry, tangent. Anyway. Okay, shall we... Do you want to do first impressions of things before we get into the more spoilery bits of stuff?
Of course. We have a format.
Stop shaming me for this. It's like the second time you've done this. I don't like it.
Oh, my God. Follow the format. I am kidding. Oh, my God.
I'm giving him the finger for everybody who's listening to the podcast.
Jesus.
Everyone's lucky there's no video.
Oh, God. All right. First impression, so we didn't talk too much about it afterwards, but I think we might have a little bit of a different opinions, I guess, on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. Taking away some, you know, hateful characters, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But that is also why that character was written that way, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you have to create that juxtaposition and everything. But I liked it a lot. I thought the way, like I said, they used the space and the physical things that happened within the space to represent kind of like what's going on within the story and how, you know, the mother evolves with what is happening with the child.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That one was really well done. So I think it was pretty great. The acting, like, seriously, the mom, what's the actress name again?
Sadie Harla.
Yeah, she did an incredible job.
Oh my gosh, phenomenal.
That was amazing. Yep. And the makeup department and everything.
Yes.
Also, like, very cool.
Oh, yeah.
So That's me.
Okay. There were a lot of really interesting elements to it, so that does make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't not enjoy this film. I thought it was very interesting. I thought it really did do its absolute best to tackle a lot of these very difficult issues to do with motherhood, particularly like first-time motherhood and things that women experience in that space. And overall, I think it did a pretty decent job of it. Now, I don't have children, so, you know, I'm sure that people could potentially disagree with me about that. But overall, I feel that it did kind of tackle a lot of those themes pretty well. I guess there was just a part of me that felt like a lot of what was happening was a little bit too on the nose.
That is true.
In a way, like, it was very in your face. There's not, surprisingly, in spite of the type of film that this is and the vibe that it gives you, where you think that there's going to be a lot of subtlety, there's not really. It's quite in your face. Like, there's not a lot of that's held back necessarily. You don't really have to guess what's happening. So that was like, you know, kind of unfortunate. I felt like maybe like tonally it kind of shifted in a funny way and it didn't really suit it.
I wonder if that was on purpose, in a sense of like,
maybe
this is how it is to have a child. Like, it's in your face. Things happen. You can't avoid it, type of thing. You know, there's no subtlety to it. It's really just, it's happening.
Yeah. Look, maybe it's maybe, entirely yeah, possible know. That you're right. I genuinely don't know, but it's entirely possible that you're right. So yeah. So, you know, there were maybe like tonally and a couple of other things and like certain components of it where it, like, this is just kind of something that happens when there are babies or really young children involved in something and they get creepy. Sometimes it gets a little bit funny. I did find myself laughing
creepy
a few
babies
times.
Are funny to you.
I mean, because, well, yeah, it's like a CG baby. It's fine.
I know.
But like, it, you, like, I did find myself laughing a few times when I was like, I don't think I was supposed to, but it does become a little bit funny.
Yeah, I get it. I know. There's a couple of scenes when it's like munching on meat and you're like, what the fuck? It just goes like,
yeah, a lot
it's
of
fucking hilarious.
The little growls and stuff that the baby makes, or just, anyway, it's a little bit funny and a little bit silly, and that made me laugh anyway. But overall, like, it was enjoyable.
Oh yeah.
I did find it was something like, you know, like that's it was interesting. It tackled a decent amount of issues. To your point, it's got good performances in it. It's got a beautiful setting. It's got like great set design.
Piques your interest.
Special effects makeup. It's got like an okay amount of gore in it, you know.
Oh yeah. No, there was a good amount.
Fair bit in there as well, which can be like a little bit, you know, like a little bit off-putting, especially for people who I think are parents, like women who are parents. It's probably a little bit off-putting for you. This movie definitely did feel like a little bit of a PSA to be like, maybe don't have kids. I don't know, like, it kind of felt that way. I don't know if that was
this, like, is the worst thing that can happen if you have a kid.
I don't know if that was the point, but I was kind of like, Jesus Christ, okay, I don't think they want us to have kids. So it was a little bit maybe more of like a mixed kind of feeling for me, but overall it was an enjoyable film and I did like it. Yeah. Okay.
How would you score it?
I think I'd be sitting around like a 6 out of 10 right now.
Okay. All right. So you're kind of like in the average majority, I guess. IMDb is at 6.1.
Okay, yeah.
Letterboxd is at 2.9, which is, you know, your 6 because it's out of 5.
Roughly,
rating,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think I'm like at a 6. How about you?
All right, I'm closer to a 7.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I found it was very enjoyable. It caught me by surprise a couple of times, especially at the beginning. I was like, holy fuck, like, don't eat popcorn during that movie in a couple of scenes. I liked it a lot. I'm also trying to kind of like not think too much about the things that impacted you a little bit more, you know, because as a woman, it's different for me.
It's going to have a different effect.
That's it. So exactly. 100%. It's completely different for me. So that's why I'm like not taking those things into account.
No.
So.
No, that's fine. That's fair.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. Let's get into some of the, we're not going to spoil very major plot points or character beats or anything like that, but we'll just get into some of our favorites, some of the little bits here and there.
Yeah, some like a little bit more detailed plot points and
exactly.
kind of what happens.
Exactly. So just in case you have not seen it yet when you're listening to this, just be aware of that going in.
Yeah, that's it. And if you like our Fantasia Film Festival coverage so far, you know, please drop us a review.
Yay, please rate
and
review.
It helps a lot.
It helps us a lot.
Yeah.
Gary, and our ghoul, who helps us out with everything, is digging a grave in your honor. Currently, he works fucking hard.
I know.
And he's about to work harder because he's going to come over here and do the spoiler warning.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
Okay, so as mentioned, that's it. So very brief overview of the film, because I kind of don't want to spoil too much about it again, because there's like quite a bit
going
on.
It's fine. It comes out like 3 days before the official release.
I know. I'm just saying. It was the North American premiere at Fantasia.
Yeah.
It already had its world premiere back in February at the Berlin Film Festival, if I'm not mistaken. And it's, like I said, it's getting a Shutter release on July 31st, but it had its Fantasia release on July 22nd, mm-hmm. just so everybody's keeping up with where we're at right now. So yes, it follows the characters. The character of Saga, she is our lead. She moves into a very old house that she essentially grew up in the countryside in Finland with her husband, John, who's British, obviously. And they get pregnant shortly thereafter. I'm not going to talk about why, because it's part of the story. But
what do you mean why? They had sex in the forest.
They have sex in the woods, but it's like yeah. they're spurred towards doing so.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you know what? I guess that makes sense if you think about it
oh,
afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, they get pregnant shortly after taking over the property.
He's trying to eat it, so he's just going like... So funny. Oh, God.
Ew, he's eating it. Whatever. Okay, sorry.
You were talking about taking yes. over the property.
And we jump forward to when Saga gives birth and to a little boy who is real weird. And we very quickly realize is obviously not normal. And due to the mystical elements of some sort within the forest that kind of borders their property, this child is not human.
Yo, that baby was hairy as fuck.
Bro, that was weird. I thought they had a werewolf baby. They
didn't. Yeah, that's it. No, it was not a, werewolf baby. That's not even a spoiler. It's just not that.
No, I know. It's not a werewolf. I'm sorry. But that would have been fun.
Wow.
But no. But so it sort of follows the progression of, you know, it's that sort of Rosemary's Baby-esque story in which the mother character of Saga is the only one who sees that there's anything really wrong with the child mm-hmm. and is trying to point it out, and no one believes her, and she slowly but surely is sort of descending into madness while she is trying to figure out how to love this child and how to parent this baby.
Yeah, but also starts affecting her and everything.
It's crazy. Yeah, so there's like a lot of different elements to what her character experiences. It's this movie, I would say, is sort of a mix of something like Rosemary's Baby, mm-hmm. right? Because of like a weird kind of like possession and like things being done to you as someone who's pregnant and stuff like that. And it also, after she has the baby, it also has, because of her difficulty bonding with the child, it to me, it really reminded me of We Need to Talk About Kevin. That was something that came to mind fairly quickly, which, like, that's it. If you don't know, that's an adaptation of a book, actually. It is fully fictional, but it is, the story follows a woman's perspective after she has a son named Kevin, and she never bonds with him very much throughout his childhood, and she is the only person who does not.
Right,
and
sure.
She has a lot of difficulty with him growing up.
Hey, so it sounds pretty familiar then.
Yeah, that's it. There's like a lot of that, and then it does turn out, I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, it's actually a really excellent film. It stars Tilda Swinton.
You're confusing
as the
mother.
No, I'm just saying, but like it's a really good movie. It stars Tilda Swinton as the mother, and she does a great job of exploring sort of that difficult aspect of motherhood and people like not understanding why she can't bond with her child, and then the child does turn out to be something more evil later on in life.
So what about Nightborn? How does that
translate
to
right. Because that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Because so it follows a really similar trajectory, right? Saga has a lot of trouble bonding with the baby who she names Kura, which according to the Finnish translation means frost.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I looked up because I thought like, it would mean something else. What does Kura mean? But that's what it means. So she has a lot of difficulty bonding with her son and is the only person who believes that there's something wrong with him. And as a matter of fact, she never refers to him as him. She refers to him as it.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah. And people keep correcting her and it does not mean anything.
Yeah, and she's like, nah.
No. And so it causes, obviously, strain on her relationship with the child, strain on her relationship with her husband, John, that's for sure. Those two are on completely opposite ends of the spectrum of how they're feeling about
everything.
He's
completely in denial about it. He's like, no, everything's fine. It's just your relationship
John
with the child that is the issue.
John got on my fucking nerves. Not,
oh, 100%.
Like, I get that we're supposed to probably, to a degree anyway, there's an element of maybe, you know, Kura is like able to kind of shield what's really going on from other people in his life, and the whole point is that it's like the mother, like the person who gave birth to mm-hmm. him, is the only one who can see what's really going on, and I'm sure that that's part of the story, but after a while it just kind of gets annoying because you're like, oh fuck this guy for being that like husband who just doesn't listen to his wife when she's trying to warn him about things or she's trying to point things out, and he's just kind of like, I think you need some help, you're being crazy. I was like, shut the
well to be
up.
Fair, when they had the whole baby shower thing, I guess the party there, people weren't like, oh, what a cute baby, whatever. They were like, oh, is this baby supposed to be, aren't babies supposed to be cute? So I think part of it, you are right, that it's kind of like not showing everything, but yeah, it definitely didn't look good.
Right, so then the denial that you pointed out is probably a pretty big aspect of that. So moral of the story, John kind of sucks because he's not supportive, really,
right,
of Saga at all, honestly, throughout the course of the film. And obviously all of this builds and builds and builds and builds through multiple different scenes and kind of culminates in, you know, when we finally kind of get to the point where we understand that obviously Saga is not insane and there was actually something more supernatural at play, which is just definitely taking the folk horror element of it as kind of an allegory for motherhood and for women who, that's it, do struggle postpartum with their children and things and bonding with them and finding ways to, like, finding a way to love them when they themselves are struggling mentally.
It culminates into a tree, and that's all you're getting.
Okay. That's good, because that was like a spoiler, but also what?
Yeah, exactly. It's not even a spoiler. It means nothing if you haven't seen the movie.
No, not necessarily. Okay, so shall we do three favorites then? Let's do that.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
No, I'll go first.
Okay, go first.
Okay, I go first. I mentioned it before. I just want to expand a little bit on it. The way that they use the space in the house. So first of all, when they arrive in the house, it's like completely dilapidated. Like, they do the first step in it,
and
it breaks.
Again, this is what I'm talking about. When you're looking at stuff, you're just kind of like, I can't even imagine how much money this would cost.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We're talking about this, but like, they walk into the house, and the first step they do, the floor breaks under them. Like, it was
oh,
fucked.
Oh, yeah, on the stoop outside.
And of course, you know, like, over the, I guess, the 9 months.
9 months.
Of that, they've done some very good renos.
Can you tell we don't have kids? Because you have to think about that for a
second. And in the middle of the house, initially before the renos were done, there was like a tree growing out of it. And they're like, oh, what the fuck?
Oh, my God,
to remove that because it's growing out from the floor, mm-hmm, you know. And then, of course, all the renos are done and everything. And I have to say, so there's like a particular scene that I actually actively thought about, mm-hmm, is that somehow that tree starts regrowing again and it's like rotting the wood and it comes back, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh, what the fuck is this? And for some reason, instead of taking it out, they just kind of like bend the branches and then they put a little tarp over it. Yeah, they're just kind of like, shh, don't talk about
it. Okay, but we know why Saga does that, because she's hiding things in that little crawl space. But
anyway. Oh, yeah, no, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that they are trying to hide this tree, mm-hmm, which is representative, at least in my mind, of Saga trying to hide, first of all, her child and, mm-hmm, what she feels about it and whatever it is. But then afterwards, when, you know, that the stash, let's say, was discovered, they don't even bother covering it up. The tree is just kind of out there. And at the same time, she starts to she's basically bonding with the child, right? She's like playing with it and they can have a conversation or at least understand each other. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the use of space and the smart way that those things represented the relationship of the mom with the child.
Well, it's
by the use of physical space.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool and smart.
Well, no, I mean, it's very interesting also that, you know, when Saga decides to accept that this is real, this is happening,
exactly,
and everything fully, this is when she truly bonds with her child, and the physical representation of that is to allow that tree to continue to grow out through the middle of the house, essentially.
Yep.
So that is good. I would say that, so, I mean, like, I know you're talking about, like, the use of space. I think that my first favorite is probably the set itself.
Oh, yeah.
The set design in this movie I thought was really, really cool. I really loved the differences that you get where, like, early stages, the house is very dilapidated. It's very run down. It looks dangerous, really.
Multiple code
violations.
Man.
Yeah, it's really bad. And then we jump forward in time and we have this, particularly what we spend the most time in is like the bedroom/nursery, mm-hmm, area, which is beautiful, stunning what they've done, like, with the whole space. It's this lovely, like,
oh, the whole nursery?
Round, large. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's as big as a fucking living room.
Yeah, no, it's gorgeous. It's huge. You know, like, all these, like, lovely things that they've done with it, all this, like, beautiful sort of very like gothic but in the woods kind of set design you see in the film. Everything's in like dark green tones and like some like slightly more like muted grays and stuff like that, but they've still added a little bit of whimsy for like right over like right near the bassinet there's like a big cloud light and a hot air balloon hanging from it and stuff. Like there's still like stuff, it's just, it's really interesting and really cool, and there's a lot of like what they do with like the different set pieces in the film that you see that I find really lent themselves very well to match the tone of the movie.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%.
Cool. Yeah, I really like that.
Oh, is that your number two?
Yeah, that was my number one.
Oh, number one.
What's your number two?
My number two is, I have to say, the stuff in the forest, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to go too deep into it, but obviously the forest plays a big role in this movie and kind of like what happens within it. And it also is the precursor of the whole story, essentially. They have done some interesting set designs, I guess, since you were just talking about it as well. The forest, you know, outside the house is so cool. Pretty crazy. Like the way that they've worked with the trees, or I guess created trees to show something or represent something or make it look like something. I'm saying something because I don't want to, you know, spoiler too much over here.
Yeah, no, it's good.
But seriously, it was so well done. It looked very, very realistic and creepy. And like, I would just not go too deep into that forest.
Yeah.
Even during the day. That was really, really well done. Like, just the whole, everything that is related to trees, which is weird to say, was really well done.
But it's cool.
It's basically a set design thing, I would say. Yeah.
I think my second favorite is probably the score of the film. It has this really lovely, and you kind of don't even notice it in certain scenes, but especially early on in the film, I tried to pay attention to it. It's got this really lovely score that is, again, it's got that like kind of gothic vibe to it. There are scenes in which it's like very dramatic, and then other ones in which it's very toned down and things to match the sort of more somber mood that's occurring and things. But I thought it was really well done. The music is by a composer named Ika Toppinen, who is a Finnish cellist, but also like a songwriter, producer, all that sort of stuff. And he plays multiple different instruments, but I think primarily the cello.
So, that's very cool.
Interesting. I really liked it. I thought it suited the tone of pretty much every scene. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I want to say for my last one, most likely it is... Oh, crap. I was just thinking about it. Oh, right. Yes. So the surprising... And not the surprising amount of gore, but the way that it is shown on the screen.
Okay, yeah.
You know, some of them are almost jump scares, but some of them are also kind of like, you know what you will see because of what happened in the scene and everything, but then you actually see it and you're like, oh, God. This is painful to look at.
We definitely will give a warning for like some really visceral childbirth stuff in that this too. Movie.
Yeah, that too, but other things as well. Oh. The whole message of, you know, your body transforms after giving birth and everything. Yeah. What they showed there is, first of all, incredibly well done. Yeah. The makeup and costume. Well, is it costume design? I guess. No,
it's, well, I guess it's special effects.
Like special effects, I guess. That's it. That one was crazy. It's just all of that. The way that it happens and how it is built up for you to see what's going on, that was fucking, like, it was impactful. 100%. Let's put it that way.
No, for sure. And I will say, like, there are moments, and again, I think this is maybe just as a woman in general, but you are, like, clutching your boobs in sympathy for what's happening in different scenes, and you're like, oh, dear God.
Oh, that's it. So if it has an impact on you like that, so.
Oh, 100%. It did. It was awful. And I think my third favorite is probably, I mean, I have to kind of, I have to add it as just like to give credit where credit's due. It's probably Sadie Harla's performance as Saga.
Yes.
She really carries this whole film. I found overall everyone was quite good and quite well suited to everything. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say that her and Rupert Grint have like incredible chemistry, but also they're meant to be very distant from one another.
It's kind of not needed, right?
No, that's it. So that also kind of makes sense. I do think everybody respectively plays their characters very well. And there are also a lot of elements that she deals with on top of the motherhood aspect, which is, you know, elements of her own childhood. She has a kind of a strained relationship with her own mother, who is a character in the film as well, who was obviously very career focused, and she's a little more family focused and oriented. So there's like some clashing that happens there, and that's something that women will like deal with in different generations very frequently as well. So that was like an interesting element to add. And she just, her whole through line and all of the beats that she hits throughout the course of the film, I thought were just like pitch perfect. She was really, really just carrying the entire thing the whole way through.
Yeah, of course.
And it's her performance that makes everything all the much more believable about what's happening, where you're like, oh no, I believe that this baby's like fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100% I agree. It was very well carried through, and you very much believe what is going on as much as unnatural and impossible.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, for sure. It was, yeah. So overall, that's it. I think this was just an enjoyable film. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we kind of like wrap it up?
No, not specifically. I mean, you know, we kind of said that the tone was maybe a little bit different than everything. Yeah. So maybe a couple of points taken away there.
Mm-hmm.
No, but otherwise, I thought it was just generally pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think if you're into folk horror, I think if you are comfortable, that's it, with films that do explore like the different aspects of motherhood and things like that, this is probably going to be something that's pretty enjoyable for you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just like an interesting kind of character study to a degree as well. Maybe sometimes like there are certain themes that could have touched on in more detail. Maybe that's part of my thing tonally, kind of rushed through certain points of things.
Right.
But at the same time, overall, I found that it was just like a good time. It's got really solid performances in it and has a lot of really beautiful visuals to it as well that I found were really interesting. And if you can ignore the growling baby through part
all
of it,
all the time.
Yeah, it was a lot.
God.
It was a lot, I will say. But if you can ignore the growling baby through it, then I think that you will probably have a pretty good time with this film overall.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So we're la-di-da, we're going to have more movies coming your way in the next couple of days, basically by the time you guys are hearing this. But let us know, like, have you by the time you're hearing this, are you gonna check Nightborn out? Have you watched it already? What did you think of it? Like, what were kind of like your thoughts coming away from it? I'd be curious to know sort of how people are vibing with it up until this point, for sure. So anyway, let us know about that. You can follow us on all of our socials. We're a Gravetone Pod everywhere, so that's where you can check out when we have all of these new episodes dropping and everything like that. You can also check out our website, as previously mentioned, gravetonepod.com. We have an entire section dedicated to our Fantasia coverage, so you will be seeing everything that we're covering will be archived there, and you can go check all of it out as well if you're looking for maybe some new or some upcoming stuff.
That's right.
To check out, as well as everything else that we have on the site. So yeah, until next time, guys.
It's going to be very soon.
48 fucking hours from now. Stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.